Hello, and welcome to Around and About Chattanooga. I am Michael Edward Miller. A Chattanooga poet has released a spoken word album. Christian Collier is known for his powerful live performances. He's done poetry slams and shows like the Raw Showcase in Atlanta.
Up on the stage, the DJ stands behind his turntables like the soldier behind the lip of a rifle, armed only with an arsenal of vinyl records. On the dance floor below, we are guided by muscle and music.
He's got a compelling voice, and he can electrify an audience. Here in the scenic city, he hosts an open mic series called The Speakeasy. However, for this, his newest project, he's gone away from the crowd into a recording studio. Collier is a musician as well as a poet, and his album is called Between Beauty and Bedlam.
This is a prayer for language. Thank you for giving me purpose, giving me art, giving me the tools to turn poems into totems chanting in the face of the sky.
For a number of years, I have produced music. I've produced hip-hop, I've produced drum and bass, and other electronic forms. So I've always had the capacity to make music, and I've never been able to reconcile both sides until fairly recently.
Begun, acknowledging that I'm the sun's son, the one whose tongue dances with the rhythms of drums. I've been honoring the instruments, donating their lungs, limiting the valleys of their innards to the songs that I've sung. A recitation celebration of the places I'm from.
The second track, it's called Walk. It's got this very exuberant, strutting feel to it. It's got the line, I walk like a god so my goddess can find me.
I walk like I only got the wind behind me. Walk like a god so my goddess can find me.
What is Walk about?
The text really deals with identity and just kind of claiming yourself and, you know, and all the wonderful and quirky ways that you are who and what you are.
So after slavery we can wage you over against this very country for the right to simply live and die as free. The black discontent in me no longer felt so bound by the trappings of tradition that has served to weigh me down. And now I've decided to define myself anew by the brightness of my passion as opposed to just the hue. I walk like I only got the wind behind me. Walk like a god so my goddess can find me. Walk like the only thing I got inside me is F.
This album, this collection of Collier's poems and music, starts out like that, celebratory, spirited, but then it goes in a different direction. Many of these poems are based on Collier's real-life experiences, and he includes one about a relationship with a girl that didn't work out. He refers to it as a bruised history. The girl's parents didn't approve of her having a relationship with him.
I can still remember her eyes, shining like soft moons in the dark, as she asked me to leave her 17th birthday party so that her parents would not know that I had come to celebrate her honor.
Collier, who is black, was dating a girl who is white, and that's why her father didn't approve. Her father used a very ugly racial epithet to insult Collier. In the poem, he talks about how it's taken years for him to find acceptance.
I hadn't the heart to love her, just not the skin.
I think a lot of times, especially when you're first confronted with something, that's when it becomes most jarring. And you know, for a number of years, I've always been, I mean, race has been a really interesting thing. I think growing up in the South, especially the time in which I was in my teens, and you know, first experiencing love and just trying different things, and so having that encounter where, you know, you are kind of reminded that, you know, some of the ghosts of the South are still around.
Yes.
And so it just kind of makes you think, like, you want things to be different. You want to be past all of the trappings and prejudices and everything.
I can still remember how often I clasped my hands and prayed for God to grant me a different world to wake to instead of the hungry South, whose pride and tradition towered like a grim juggernaut over choice.
On a different poem, it sounds like you're more celebrating your Southern heritage a little bit.
We've been friends for years, but I can no longer pretend that I don't spend the majority of every day dreaming of more.
You even reside in the depths of my southern breath, like a Baptist hymn.
You reside in the depths of my southern breath like a Baptist hymn. It sounds like you're more, maybe a little bit more comfortable with being from the South in that one.
Well, I think, you have to ultimately claim who you are and you know, all the good things and bad things that come with it. I will always be a Southerner. You know, and it's one of those things where you love the parts that are beautiful, and you know, you kind of make your peace with some of the things that aren't so much. And so I think it's just owning your heritage and what makes you who you are.
How did you get into poetry in the first place? Who are some of your influences as a poet?
I got into poetry in 1998. I got into it thinking that I was going to try to woo this girl, and that never works for you know, anybody who thinks it does, it doesn't. But I started to study the craft. So I was looking at Shakespeare's sonnets, and I remember I got Yusuf Kamenyaka's Neon Vernacular, and I was like, I don't even understand it, but I feel like this is just really important, and I learned why it was great.
When other hands caress bullets and grenades, or linger on the turrets and luminous wings of reconnaissance planes, we leave glimpses of ourselves on the polished hardness.
And at the same time, spoken word or slam poetry, whatever people want to call it, started to kind of break out in a mainstream capacity. So on each of the Roots albums up to about 1999, you could hear Ursula Rucker close the albums. So at the same time that I'm getting exposed to the classics in form, I'm hearing, you know, the more of the orally driven performance side of it.
The final poem on the album, it's about a woman who's been sexually assaulted and the kind of conflicted feelings going on trying to be there for someone who's been like that. Tell me about that.
Cassandra sometimes sobs in her sleep beside me, and I become a silent witness, too fearful to offer the softness of my touch, because I don't want her body to confuse me for the man whose abusive hands still haunt her.
It's been probably the most well-received pieces on the record, and I think it was really interesting. That was the first thing that I released from the record. I got contacted by a lot of survivors of, you know, sexual assaults, and it really kind of tripped me out to have people say thank you for making this.
From time to time, when she cries beside me in her sleep, I just want to wake her and say, baby girl, sometimes this life hurts in ways we never would have imagined. And if I could help it, no one would ever mar your body parts again. There would never be another scar to build a home along your flesh and mark you as a victim. If I could, I would undo the thousands of hours since the incident to reinstill the innocence stripped away from you. But I know that words won't work for her. Not where she is right now in her recovery. Trauma has developed lungs and breathes inside her, and nothing my mouth can manifest would penetrate it. So I choose just to be here.
And it really kind of tripped me out to have people say thank you for making this, which totally wasn't my intention at all. But it also made me feel really kind of odd saying thank you, because it's like you had to experience something terribly traumatic in order to really appreciate this piece on a level that a lot of people, you know, can't. So it was really kind of weird, but it made me feel like, well, maybe this record has something that, beyond just my own hope that it will resonate with people, maybe it just does.
The title is Between Beauty and Bedlam. What does that title mean?
I was having a conversation with a friend, and I was telling him that kind of the course of my my life, at least as an adult, has been something really great will happen, and I'm almost counting the minutes before something terrible happens. And it seems like right after something great happens, something immediately bad comes and reduces it back to my mood back to zero. And then I was telling him, it's like, you know, my life is like somewhere between beauty and bedlam. And then I was like, well, I think that might be it, you know? So
that's Christian Collier. He wrote the poems and all the music for Between Beauty and Bedlam. You can find him online at iChristian3030.blogspot.com.